message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will prove a real blessing and help to you. We're going to look again at the book of Romans, and we're going to continue our study in the details of the gospel of the grace of God. We've come to Romans chapter number 5, where Paul is concluding the issue of being justified by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked a lot about the issue of justification and how the justice of God deals with a believer today. We've seen that God's justice demands absolute, complete, perfect righteousness, and that we in ourselves are unrighteous. The justice of God demands that we have righteousness, and yet we're minus that righteousness. We're in sin. The condemnation of mankind is that the justice of God looks at us and sees us in our sin, in our rebellion, in our helplessness, in our failure, in our turning our back on Almighty God. We've said to you before that one of the great Bible definitions of sin is found in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into our own way. And that's the basic element of sin. There is within all of us that nature that wants to do it our way, that independent spirit to do it our way rather than in dependence upon God. And the middle letter of the word sin, that's the problem. I'm going to have it my way and do it my way. And yet we've seen that God's answer for that is not just to let us go on our way and have our own thing, because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end thereof is the way of death. The wages of sin is death. And so the result of what we have and what we get in ourselves is death. That's what sin produces in life. Sin kills life. Sin produces death. In fact, the condemnation, and we've seen that, of death is not just simply dying and being placed in the cemetery, 6 feet under and put you to bed with a shovel, that kind of thing. The death involved here is the death of your inner man, the death of your soul. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says that the fearful and unbelieving and abominable whoremongers and sorcerers and murderers, and you say, but I'm not, that's not really me. But then it says, and all liars. Now see, that gets all of us, shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. What you and I earn because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is. A wage is something you go down and you work for it, and at the end of the week they give you the paycheck. The paycheck isn't a gift, it's what you earned. You work for it. You deserve it. What we deserve because of our sin is death. And he says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, you make that anything you want to make it, but God says that it's eternal torment in the lake of fire that burns, a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, not the first death of your body where you just die and go to a hole in the ground, but the death of your inner man also. Jesus said, don't fear him that can destroy your body, just kill you, you're dead, and your body's dead, but fear him that can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. And that's the issue there. And that's what sin brings. And we've seen that the condemnation, the justice of Almighty God requires absolute perfect righteousness, and yet we don't have it. Consequently, the condemnation of God's justice comes upon us. We don't match the righteous standard of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is, the gospel, the good news of the grace of God is that God has provided for us in Christ what we could not provide for ourselves. And so Jesus Christ, and we've been studying this, Jesus Christ goes to Calvary's cross. And on Calvary's cross, He dies for us. And when Jesus Christ died there at Calvary, He took our sin, on Himself. Our sin is placed on Him. God pours out His wrath against our sin in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, the Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us. He did not become sin for you. He was made sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. God Almighty made Him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, we're transferred from the old creation that we were in Adam, and we're placed over here into the Lord Jesus Christ. We're transferred from the sin of the old man into the righteousness that is available in Jesus Christ. When He says, being therefore justified, that's what He's talking about. The great exchange of the universe is when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you pass from being in Adam, the old creation, to being placed into Christ, the new creation. You pass from the position of sin and condemnation to righteousness, and now you have life, everlasting life. You pass from death to life. Why? Because Jesus Christ died to pay for our sin debt, took away our sin, and was raised again the third day so that He might give us His life. Now, we've come that far in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 to 3 deals with the issue of our condemnation. And then Romans chapter 3, the last part of chapter 3 through chapter 5, deals with our justification over here. This is condemnation, that's justification, and it's all based upon what God has accomplished for us in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans, again, lays down basic foundational truth about what God has accomplished at Calvary, grace, is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I heard a man on the television just the other day talking about, in fact, it was a movie actor, Mickey Rooney of all people, was saying that he had heard a man give a definition of grace. And he said that he used a little acrostic that you've probably heard before. Said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is all that God is free to give you and do for you because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the great exchange is that we have God's riches at the expense of the payment that Jesus Christ made for us at Calvary. Now, justification qualifies us, because we're over here in Christ, qualifies us for a whole list of wonderful, a whole series of wonderful benefits and blessings, because we're in Christ. And in Christ over here, all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of Christ begins to be important to us. And the rest of the book of Romans is going to go up to this point. He's been explaining to us who we are in Christ, how we get there, why sin has been put away, and the new creation that we are in Christ, this new creature status that we have over here. Now he's going to begin to delineate the blessings that this position in Christ bring to us, and the benefits and the heritage that we have by virtue of being in Christ. And so in chapter 5, he's going to list, the first 11 verses of chapter number 5, Pastor J.C. O'Hara many years ago said that the first passage that anybody ought to read after they get saved is Romans chapter number 5. And I have to say that I concur with him. The fifth chapter of Romans, the first 11 verses would be a passage of Scripture that you ought to take and commit to your heart's memory. It's a passage that you need to be able to just quote to yourself and say to yourself, and not just to be able to quote the words, but to be able to appreciate and understand the truth that's there. You see, you'll never understand the truth that's there until you know what the words say. So the issue is, like David of old said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But once you know the words, it isn't enough just to know the words. You need to understand them, because the fifth chapter of Romans, the first 11 verses, is probably the greatest passage in the Word of God on the eternal security of the believer. What Paul is going to do now is he's going to draw a practical conclusion about how this great truth of our exchanged position in Christ and this new life we have in Him, this righteousness we have in Him, where the old is put away and the new creature is here. He's going to draw some practical conclusions about how this impacts our life in time right now for God's glory. That's why he says in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Now, therefore, because we're here, therefore, because we've passed from death to life through being justified by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't emphasize enough that everything comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through the church, not through some ordinances, not through some commandment keeping, not through some law performance. This system over here on this side is the system of the law. What does the law do? Romans 4 says the law works death. The law works wrath. The law brings condemnation. By the law is the knowledge of sin. It condemns us. Sin entered with Adam. The law entered with Moses. But grace is going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ over here. And the system over here is going to be a system of grace. And where sin abounded because the law reigned, grace much more abounds over here. Under the gospel of God's grace, as it's laid out over here, being justified by faith, being declared righteous. And you notice that word justified. If you take the word justify, you see the word justice in there. And the issue here is just, that is being right. And we don't have a word for righteousness as a verb here. So when it talks about to justify us, the justice of God declaring us righteous, that's what that word means, to be declared right or righteous by the judge of all the earth, God Himself, to say that your righteousness matches His. Well, how can my righteousness match His? Mine can't, but Christ can. And so I have the righteousness of God in Christ and through Him. So we're justified by faith through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our justification is by grace through faith in the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. Now, He's just told you that in chapter 4, Romans 4, verse number 25, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That is to say that when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, He was handed over for our offenses. If you go back to Luke chapter number 22, in Luke chapter number 22, there's a marvelous statement back here. It says He was delivered for our offenses. Literally, God the Father handed over God the Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Romans chapter 8, and verse number 32, the Apostle Paul says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In Luke chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the people that come to take Him after Judas has betrayed Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, or outside the garden there at the gate. And He says to them in verse 53, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretch forth no hands against me." In other words, up to this point, no one had laid a hand on Christ. His enemies had never been able to, they'd never laid a hand on Him to take Him. The only people who had ever touched the Lord Jesus Christ up to that time were those who sought to be blessed and healed and those whom He loved. But now His enemies are going to take Him. Luke 22:53, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." In other words, He's going to be now delivered up to the satanic opposition and policy of evil that's going to try to destroy Him. In Luke chapter 26, a parallel passage. Verse 52, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place," talking to Peter after Peter stood forth to try to defend Christ against these people who've come to take Him. "For all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He, the Father, shall give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know, that's a marvelous passage of Scripture. God the Father, at that point, would have immediately sent angels to have withdrawn the Lord Jesus Christ from the path to Calvary had He requested it. God the Father had delivered Him up. God the Father had handed Him over to death. But my friend, Jesus Christ willingly, consciously, in time, chose the path to Calvary. God the Father had allowed it to happen. God the Father delivered him up to it. But God the Son Himself freely and willingly chose to go to Calvary. And right there on the very footsteps of the cross, He says to Peter, "Don't you understand that all I'd have to do would be to speak the word to my Father, and He'd send 12 legions of angels to stop this and to deliver me." All He'd had to do was spoke a word, and God the Father immediately would have agreed with Him and taken Him out. Jesus Christ willingly went to Calvary for you. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how God could make Him to be sin for us, and yet He not be tainted by sin and by self-will and by rebellion. He wasn't turned into His own way. He went there in obedience to the plan and the will of God the Father and the agreement that He had had with the Father, that these things would be accomplished through His death there. But His death there was one, I mean, folks, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No one made Him go. He went there because He loved you. He valued you. He esteemed you. He desired to have you for His own. And the only way He could do that was for Him to provide the eternal payment for your sin and to take your sin out of the way through the sacrifice of Himself. You see, your sin has to be dealt with. Your sin has to be paid for. You can pay for it, but that would be condemnation and death and hell and separation from God for eternity, and God doesn't desire that for you. I hope you understand today, right where you sit, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, values you. No one ever might love you. No one may ever accept you. No one may ever esteem you and consider you to be a person of value. And you know, we strive and we seek to be accepted and to be loved. And we want people and we look to our jobs for some identification so that we can be, look at me, I'm someone who's important. We look to our spouses. We look to our children. We look around us to our circumstance and try to gain some value for ourselves. God looks at us and He says, you know, all those things will fail you, but I love you. And I've demonstrated my value for you. Unconditional acceptance, unconditional value, unconditional forgiveness when I sent my Son to die for you at Calvary. You know, folks, that's the good news of the grace of God. You see, salvation in this Bible isn't a bunch of rules and regulations for you to attain to, and if you keep them just right, then God will, you know, He'll mete out life to you, and He'll mete out some good points to you and some brownie points, and then when you die, He weighs you and sees whether your good outweighs your bad and all that. Listen, your bad will outweigh your good every time. I mean, you know that too, don't you? You? Sure, you know it will. What the good news is, that God knew you couldn't do it. Verse 6 here says that when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we didn't have the ability to help ourselves, He came and provided it for us. He says, when we were yet enemies, rebelling against Him, not really desiring His help, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, going about doing it our own way, God looked at us and God loved us and God Himself paid the debt. He delivered Him up for our offenses. And He raised Him again for our justification. You see, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you know what He was saying? He was saying that it's death. The wages of sin is death. He was saying that when He died there, that death put away sin. And there's no sin, no sin to hold Him in death, so God raises Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says, paid in full. It says the work is finished. It's finished. It's completed. It's done. Therefore, being justified by faith. You see, this is who we are over here. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When He raised Him from the dead, He raised Him just to say the work's completed. the sacrifice, that's enough. Jesus did it all. He did enough, and He did it for you. And the way you know that is God raised Him from the dead, and His resurrection declares death is dealt with and life is available. He died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again so He could be the author of eternal life. And my friend, the only answer to death is life. You take a dead man in a coffin and walk by him and say, "Well, George, you don't look quite so good. You need to get down to the gym and get in shape." That won't help a dead man. He said, "What you need is a little education." And you buy some Hooked on Phonics tapes and play them for him, try to teach him how to read again. It won't help a dead man. You say, "What you need is some religion," and you get some mumbo jumbo, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and you start doing it with him. It won't help a dead man. You know the only thing that'll help a dead man is life. Life. You know what God's provided? Life. Where? In His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified. Get a hold of that. Being justified. Because of all this, we're justified by faith through the Lord Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you get this thing. Therefore, being justified. That's that when it talks about being, that's who you are. When you recognize who you are in Christ, that's who you used to be. Now this is who you are in Christ. Because of who we are in Christ, being justified, we have. Because of who we are, there's a long list of things that God says, now, because this is who you are, this is what you have because of it. And now there's going to begin a long list in Romans 5 of benefits that accrue to people who are in Christ because of who we are in Him. My present identity, my present state of being is in Christ. And because we are in Him, and because that's who we are, therefore being justified, we have what? Peace with God. You know how you have peace with God? There's no more war between you and God. You say, "What about my sin?" Your sins have been paid for. You know what you have with God? You have peace. You have a complete, total forgiveness of all of your sins. You know what forgiveness? That's God doesn't hold your sins against you anymore. Why? Because He already dealt with your Savior about your sins. Somebody says, "Well, that's okay until I get saved, but once I get saved, what about the rest of my sin?" Listen, when Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary, all of your sins were future. You were future. Do you think Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Do you think God before the foundation of the world looked down through time and saw only a part of your life? He saw all of your life. When Jesus Christ died and He looked out there and He saw you out in the future out there, He didn't see just a piece of your life or some of your life. He saw all of your life, and He died for all of your sins so that you could have peace, no more war, no more contention between you and God. You may never have peace completely and totally in this world between you and your spouse. You know, you look to your spouse, you look to your kids, you look to yourself, you look to your circumstances to give you something that they can't give you, but that God Himself has already given you in Christ. If you recognize those needs being met in Christ, and you understand and you by faith rest in what God has provided for you in Christ, then you'll be free. Those needs are met. You're free from having to have them met by your spouse or by your neighbor or by your religion or by your works. You're free because those needs are already met, and you're free to go out and serve others in love. We have peace with God. He goes on. I mean, there's a whole list of things here. I wish we could get through all of them. We can't. We'll study them next week. We have access, not only peace with God, but we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've got a future out there. Here we were, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now in Christ, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Out there one day going to share His eternal glory with Him through all eternity. Back over here, the glory of God was something that we feared. You remember when Christ was born and the angels appeared in the heavens to announce His nativity to the to the shepherds. And it says that the glory of God filled the heavens, and they were what? Sore afraid. Anyone standing in the presence of the glory of Almighty God would be afraid. He says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Why? Because we're in Christ. We have absolute, complete righteousness, and we have access into this grace by faith, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and we, not only so, but we also glory in tribulation also. I mean, even the details of our present life. He takes them and the circumstances of our lives now, instead of being indications of God's anger or discontent with us, He takes even the problems and pressures and difficulties of time and life, and the fact that He leaves us here to live for Him, and through whom He lives His life, He takes even the troubles and the tribulations and makes them work for us, become productive in our life. And even the problems that we have no longer are indications that God is against us, but they demonstrate His value and esteem for us in working in our behalf. Well, there's an awful lot here. We'll go into this in more detail next time. You just remember, will you? Therefore, being justified by faith, faith in the finished work of Christ, we have peace with God. This is who we are over here, and because of who you are in Christ, you have all these benefits and blessings. I hope you've trusted Him. I hope this today you're in Christ, that you've put your faith, you've made that conscious choice to put your faith in what God did for you in His Son, and you're relying exclusively upon Him today as your Savior. We've got a Bible study tape we'd like to give to you to help you understand some of these things. And Dan's going to come in a moment and give you the address and how you can get that tape. It's free, and we want you to have it, because we want you to be able to rejoice in hope of the glory of God, have your faith confidently resting in what God says in His Word. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Our Heritage in Christ. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 230. That's tape offer number 230. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible. We're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.